2026 is fast approaching. What kind of year will it be? How about the year you finally launch your own business? The year you transform yourself into an entrepreneur, founder, and boss. One powerful move puts your future firmly in your hands, starting a business with Shopify. It doesn't matter what you are looking to sell, handcrafted jewelry, recipe books, homespun fashion, or music lessons. Shopify gives you everything you need to sell online and in person. Millions of entrepreneurs have already made the leap. Why? Because Shopify gives you all the tools to quickly build your dream store. Choose from hundreds of beautiful templates that you can customize to match your brand. Setup is fast with Shopify's built-in AI tools. And marketing is built in too, making it easy to create email and social media campaigns. In 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/living. Go to shopify.com/living. That's shopify.com/living. Here are your first this new year with Shopify by your side.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's podcast has been edited and adapted from the essay entitled New Year's Eve by Charles Lamb, published in 1821. Everyone has two birthdays. 2 days, at least, in every year, which set us upon reflecting on the lapse of time as it affects our own mortal duration. As we grow older, the custom of honoring our proper birthday often passes away and is left to children, who reflect nothing at all about the matter, nor understand anything in it beyond cake and toys. But the birth of a new year is of an interest too wide to be ignored. No one ever regarded the 1st of January with indifference. It is that from which all date their time and count upon what is left. It is the nativity of our common humanity. Of all sounds of all bells, the most solemn and touching is the peal which rings out the old year. I never hear it without gathering up my mind to concentrate on all the images that have been diffused over the past 12 months. All I have done or suffered, performed or neglected in that time. I begin to know its worth, as when a person dies, it takes a personal color. It is no poetical flight of fancy when I say that I can see the skirts of the departing year, for it is no more than what in sober sadness every one of us seems to be conscious of in that regrettable leave-taking. I am sure that I, and many with me, will feel it tonight, though some of my companions will feign an exhilaration at the birth of the coming year, rather than show any tender regrets for the decease of its predecessor. But I am not one of those who welcome the coming, who speeds along the parting guest. I am by nature shy of novelties, new books, new faces, new years, from some mental twist which makes it difficult in me to face the prospect. I have almost ceased to hope, and am sanguine only in the prospect of other, former years. I plunge into foregone visions and conclusions. I encounter pell-mell my past disappointments. I am armor-proof against old discouragements. I forgive or overcome in my imagination old adversaries. I play over again for love, romantic games for which I once paid so dear. I would scarce now have any of those untoward accidents and events of my life reversed. I would no more alter them than the incidents of some well-contrived novel. Methinks it is better that I should have pined away 7 of my goldenest years in the thrall of a lover long gone, than that so passionate a love adventure should be lost. That I am fond of indulging in sentimentality, beyond a hope of sympathy, in retrospection, may be the symptom of some sickly idiosyncrasy, or that I simply have not learned to project myself enough out of myself. The young person till 40 never feels practically that they are mortal. They of course know it, and if need be, could give a speech about the fragility of life, but they bring it not home to themselves, any more than in a hot June we can appropriate to our imagination the freezing days of December. But now, and shall I confess the truth, I feel these yearly audits but all too powerfully. I begin to count the probabilities of my duration, and to grudge at the expenditure of moments in short periods like a penny pincher. In proportion as the years both lessen and shorten, I set more count upon their periods, and would gladly lay my ineffectual finger upon the spoke of the great wheel. I am not content to pass away like a dandelion in the wind. Those metaphors solace me not, nor sweeten the unpalatable draught of mortality. I care not to be carried with the tide that smoothly bears human life to eternity, and rebel against the inevitable course of destiny. I am in love with this green earth, the face of town and country, the sweet rural solitudes, and the energetic enthusiasm of the streets. I would set up my tabernacle here and now. I am content to stand still at the age at which we have now arrived. I and my friends to be no younger, no richer, no more attractive. I do not want to be weaned by age, or dropped like mellow fruit, as they say, into the grave. Any alteration is uncomfortable to me. My household gods plant a terrible fixed foot and are not rooted up without blood. They do not willingly seek eternity's shores. A new state of being staggers me. Sun and sky and breeze, solitary walks and summer holidays, the greenness of fields and the delicious juices of meats and fishes, society in the cheerful glass, candlelight and fireside conversations, innocent vanities, jokes, and irony itself. Do these things go out with life? Can a ghost laugh or shake his gaunt sides when you joke with him? And you, my midnight friend, must I part with the intense delight of having you, huge armfuls, in my embraces? Must knowledge come to me, if it come at all, by some awkward experiment of intuition, and no longer by this familiar process of reading and listening? Shall I enjoy friendships there, wanting the smiling indications which point me to them here, the recognizable face, the kind assurance of a look? During winter, this intolerable disinclination to dying, to give it its mildest name, does more especially haunt and beset me. On an August afternoon, beneath a sweltering sky, death is almost problematic. At those times do such poor souls as myself enjoy a feeling of immortality. Then we expand and burgeon. Then we are as strong again, as valiant again, as wise again, and a great deal taller. But the winter blast that nips and shrinks me puts me in thoughts of death. All things allied to the insubstantial wait upon that master feeling. Cold, numbness, dreams, perplexity, moonlight itself with its shadowy and spectral appearances. Whatsoever thwarts or puts me out of my way brings death into my mind. I have heard some profess an indifference to life. They hail the end of their existence as a port of refuge, and speak of the grave as some soft arms in which they may slumber as on a pillow. Some have even wooed death, but not me. I detest, abhor, execrate that phantom menace. He is to be shunned as a universal viper, to be branded, proscribed, and spoken evil of. In no way can I be brought to digest that thin and melancholy ghost. Those antidotes prescribed against the fear of him are altogether frigid and insulting, like death itself. For what satisfaction is it to say that you will lie down with kings and emperors in death? Who in their lifetime ever coveted the society of such corrupt bedfellows? More than all, I am disgusted by those impertinent familiarities inscribed upon so many tombstones. Who do these dead people think they are to be lecturing me with odious truisms like, "Such as he now is, I must shortly be"? Not so shortly, friend, perhaps as you imagine. Today I am alive, I move about, I am worth 20 of thee. Know thy betters. Your New Year's days are past. I survive, a joyful candidate for 2016. Melancholy thoughts, be gone. You have had your time on the stage. I celebrate kindness, gratitude, and change. Bartender, over here, another cup of generous wine, and one more for all my friends.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.